Our guest tonight, let's not forget, is John Cage, who promised to read part five of his diary. Is now a good time? We'll get back to the mainstream.
Here. Okay.
Do you have enough light?
Yes, plenty.
You should move the microphone a little bit.
I hope we haven't set too depressing an ambience for part five.
Well, actually, I think it is related. No need to move the camera. Pictures come to it. Gather, Fuller advises, facts regarding human needs and world resources. Place in computer memory bank. Update continuously. Joint team of programmers competing to find speediest peaceful means for giving each world inhabitant what's needed for his kind of living. Videoize solution on football field-sized geodesic world map, so fact continuously changing intelligent solution of world game exists becomes, via TV, household knowledge. A study was made with computer to find out where in the world wealthy Americans prefer to retire. They retire, computer tells us, to Cuernavaca in Mexico, a hill town near Nairobi in Kenya, and someplace or other in Nepal. The goal is not to have a goal. The new universe city will have no limits. It will not be in any special place. Having returned, as Fuller puts it, to his studies, teacher will be flying all over the world and even out into space. Questions I might have learned to ask him can no longer be answered. Waiting in the hotel in Rio de Janeiro to hear whether or not I was to meet with the people who were studying anarchy. They had come in their studies to Thoreau, and having heard that I was enjoying Thoreau's journal, had asked me to share with them my thoughts. Telephone didn't ring. Act of sharing is a community act. Think of people outside the community. What do we share with them? Teacher played hooky, sent message, receiving instruction, enjoying myself thoroughly. See you next week. Lajaron Hiller's computer music project, fantastic orchestra, each sound to be a plurality of vibratory circumstances, known or not known in nature. Impossible made possible. Fuller, nothing's artificial. It exists. It is natural. How do you manage to live with just one shirt? Before going to bed, I take a shower with my shirt still on. Afterward, I scrub the cuffs and collar with my electric toothbrush. Then I turn on the TV, hang my shirt on it, best place I've found to dry it. Years ago, zoological gardens began to get rid of wire fences, substituting means that decreased the sense of separation between animal and man. Coming back from the Junior Museum of Natural History in Sacramento, Billy Burton told me children now make applications for checking animals out. It took 6 weeks to teach the computer how to toss three coins six times. Somewhat worried, I tossed coins manually to discover from the I Ching how I Ching felt about being programmed. It was delighted. I Ching promised quantitative increase of benefits for culture. What we've already done conspires against what we have now to do. Advice to Brazilian anarchists. Improve telephone system. Without telephone, merely starting revolution will be impossible. Pinkville. Charles Peck, New York state botanist, spent most of his life with no place to work but a dark hallway. Just before he died, the government gave him a room with a window. Catechese, up around 9 or 10, coffee, off by boat to a cove where no others are, white wine, almonds, olives, chess, swimming, dominoes, back in town by 1 or 2 for lunch with him. He had not been with us. Feared plan had failed. No one wanted to get deeply involved. However, it worked. When disaster was imminent, people rose to occasion, did whatever was necessary to keep the thing going. Reminder, not a revelation. He'd have preferred silence to applause at the end. Art, instead of slap in the face. Whispered truths. Looking for something irrelevant, I found I couldn't find it. Wild as if we lived on marrow of antelopes devoured raw. Thoreau. Wanting to make some easy money, he took to cracking safes, was caught, put in penitentiary. While ill in the prison hospital, he had an affair with middle-aged nurse. When he was released from penitentiary, nurse introduced him to a beautiful young girl whom he married. His bride immediately inherited $3 million. College, 200 people reading same book. An obvious mistake. 200 people can read 200 books. Clothes I wear for mushroom hunting are rarely sent to the cleaner. They constitute a collection of odors I produce and gather while rambling in the woods. I notice not only dogs, cats too are delighted. They love to smell me. Vacaville. Spent the evening with the murderer. I asked him why he drank so much coffee. He said, there's nothing else to do. University, which now embraces studies formerly excluded from it, such as home economics, music, and physical education, has sister universities abroad, belongs to consortium of universities here, includes a free university. What's adumbrated's indistinct from society itself, not a community of scholars living like monks, but society which works for any kind of living, any kind of attention placement, any activity. Something seems beautiful? Wittgenstein. You mean it clicks? When things don't click, take clicker from your pocket and click it. Death. Process involving Christmas trees takes place each year. Christmas trees that are grown in Hawaii are sent by freighter to be sold on the West Coast. Christmas trees that are grown on the West Coast are sent by freighter to be sold in Hawaii. Ready or not, we are being readied. Complete checkup. I was more examined than ever before. Doctor's report. You're very well, except for your illnesses. John McHale. It has taken the history of mankind to produce the articles we have around us, the match, the computer. It is essential to see one sector of population isn't servicing another. We are all using the same materials simultaneously. Information storage never depletes. Ability to reuse materials makes us, after all these centuries, quite skillful. Impatience. Why do you have one TV set on top of the other? The bottom one doesn't work. There were 52 tapes. We had to combine them for a single recording. We went to a studio where they could record 8 at a time. When we had 17 together, it sounded like chamber music. When we had 34 together, it sounded like orchestral music. When we had 52 together, it didn't sound like anything we'd ever heard before. Milarepa. London publisher sent blank. Fill out. So I'd be included in survey of contemporary poets of the English language. Threw it out. Week later, urgent request plus duplicate blank arrived. Please return with a glossy photo. Complied. July, August, September. Publisher then sent letter saying it had been decided I'm not significant poet after all. If I were, everyone else would be too. used to say, never the twain shall meet. Now we don't hesitate to fight Oriental wars. There's no doubt about usefulness of Oriental thought for Western mind. Same's true for Utopia. Its impracticality is no longer to be assumed. Everything's changed. Develop facilities that remove need for middlemen. Soup cans are not only beautiful, Warhol, for example, but true, camel soup is actually in them. They're also constant reminders of spiritual presence. I am with you always. Function fulfilled by images of the Virgin Mary along a path is now also fulfilled by the public telephone. Instead of lighting a candle, we insert a dime and dial. Computer mistake in grade giving resulted in academic failure of several brilliant students. After some years, the mistake was discovered. Letter was then sent to each student inviting him to resume his studies. Each replied he was getting along very well without education. Buddha reclines on his right side, so does the lion. How thorough he is. He told me his secrets. Town is very small, well organized. Nothing can be found in it. An idea was given to them because they didn't have one. The Seychelles. Cloth calendars for kitchen walls designed by Lois Long are sold throughout the USA. Some years ago, Lois made one by mistake, giving two different dates to a single day. Thursday, November 31st was also Thursday, December 1st. The calendar was very successful. Discipline. Disciple. Giving up one's country, all that's dear to one's country. Leave thy father and mother. Yoga. Yoke. Taming of the globe. Open. In and out. Einstein wrote to Freud to say men should stop having wars. Freud wrote back to say, if you get rid of war, you'll also get rid of love. Freud was wrong. What permits us to love one another and the earth we inhabit is that we and it are impermanent. We obsolesce. Life's everlasting, individuals aren't. A mushroom lasts for only a very short time. Often I go in the woods, thinking after all these years, I ought finally to be bored with fungi. But coming upon just any mushroom in good condition, I lose my mind all over again. Supreme good fortune. We're both alive. Things governments wish to divide between us belong to all of us. The land, for instance, beneath the oceans. People speak of literacy, but I, for one, can't read or write any computer language. Only numbers I know are those based on 10. I'm uneducated. Home in Wayzata, Minnesota's very much like a home near Sitges, just south of Barcelona. Now we're itinerant, there's no reason to go on, for instance, picking fruit. Since we live longer, Margaret Mead says, we can change what we do. We can stop whatever it was we promised we'd always do and do something else. He is one of my closest friends. He asked me for help. I gave it. He couldn't use it. TV guide tells what's going on, doesn't tell what we're obliged to look at. Where you are limits what channels you can receive. Hearing sounds before they're audible is not the way to hear them. Imitate the telephones of your homes and highways. Their indifference. They aren't displeased when the person speaking is black. They aren't pleased when the person speaking is black. When lady in charge of university concerts asked what music day was to be called, I replied, Goddamn Music Day. She was delighted. Her husband, also affiliated with university, but in its legal aspects, wasn't. Profanity is forbidden. Nothing can be printed that might come to the governor's notice. Duchamp asked whether he believed in God. No, God is man's stupidest idea. Traveling from one place to another, we confine ourselves to the roads. That's why, of course, we feel so populated. We're too choosy about the space we use. Guests had left before going to bed. While reading a book he'd bought that morning, he chuckled. 10 minutes later, brushing his teeth, he died. Whole earth. We connect Sati with Thoreau. 11th thunderclap. 1928. Walter loved the Chinese, hated communists. He couldn't bear the Japanese. Fortunately for Uncle, he died before the tables turned. Mushroom, leaf, backs ache. If we had immortal life, but we don't, it'd be reasonable to do as we do now, spend our time killing one another. Chadwick, gardener at Santa Cruz. Nabid said, "You must meet our wizard." Chadwick's back, Nabid told me, had been injured in war, but when we went mushrooming with his student helpers, Chadwick, half naked, leapt and ran like a pony. Catching up with him, it was joy and poetry I heard him speak. But while I listened, he noticed some distant goal across and down the fields, and shouting something I couldn't understand because he'd already turned away, he was gone. Students had defected from the university or had come especially from afar to work with him like slaves. They slept unsheltered in the woods. After the morning's hunt with him and them, I thought, these people live. Others haven't even been born. It was not quite midnight. Duchamp was waiting for us in the street. He looked for all the world like a handsome young man. Want list of communes, places where Americans live who've given up dependence on power and possessions? Write to Alternatives Foundation, 2441 LeConte Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94709, or to Carlton Collective Communities Clearinghouse, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Future's no longer a secret. Murderer asked, "What time is it?" 9 o'clock. 5 minutes later, he repeated his question. "What time is it?" 5 minutes after 9. 10. She had problem children. Their grades were so poor they couldn't enter college. I told her to stop worrying about them. She did. They've turned out beautifully. One married a Californian, has 2 fine sons, paints beautifully. Tucker's automobile expertise is in demand. Talked about fact, writing's less and less attractive. Picking up the pen, one knows ideas already entertained in other minds. Pen becomes absent. Sword'll follow suit. Flower sermon. In the plane, ready for last leg of flight to Yucatan, he'd flown from Berkeley, I from Palermo in Sicily. Grounded by fog, we remained in Mexican Plain 3 hours, which, with subsequent flight, gave me time to read Stent's typescript of his book, The Coming of the Golden Age. When questions came to mind, I simply put them to the author. Completely satisfied. "How do you propose," Fuller was asked, "to accomplish this without involvement in political action?" His answer, "The world game provides an apolitical option, a solution no one's forced to accept. When, however, you want it, you'll be able, since you know it exists, to use it." Puppy was eating his vomit. "That's one thing," his mistress said, "we don't do." Picked him up, put him outside, resumed her conversation. No one cleaned up the mess. An elderly Viennese lady, whose principal pleasure was listening to music, was alarmed because she thought she was losing her hearing. She went to the doctor. He discovered her ears were full of wax. He removed it very easily. Man living in the Ojai knew how to manage unsheltered, but, hungry, he devised a plan that worked, to subtly change his environment in terms of its seductiveness to picnickers, so that coming upon it, picnickers would feel they'd made a discovery of the ideal place to eat. He lived for years on food they left behind. Busy signal in the telephone system sometimes means persons one's callings talking to someone else. Sometimes busy signal means someone else is trying to reach very same person you're trying to reach. This creates a problem. Solution: two different types of busy signals. If at some moment person we're trying to reach, being called before by someone else, answers, genuine busy signal rings. Presidential platform. Promise, elected or not, to go on with my work, not bothering about you, to remove laws, to extend unlimited credit throughout society, regardless of nationality. Observing distinctions, race distinctions, side with underdog, learning from him who was oppressed, to live outside the law, not committing crimes, become slave to all there is, no need to become king. Siding with noises, musicians discovered duration's impartiality. What corresponds in society to sound's parameter of duration? Vacation, this is ours. Don't just do your thing. Do so many things no one will know what you're going to do next. Add video screen to telephone. Give each subscriber 1,000 sheets of recordable, erasable material, so anytime, anywhere, anyone would have access to 1,000 sheets of something, drawings, books, music, whatever. You just dial. If you dial the wrong number, instead of uselessly disturbing another subscriber, you just get surprising information, something unexpected. Statement by Stillman, manufacturer, distributor of lumber products, founder, president of the World Institute. The question before us is whether we will so organize the processes for gathering and applying knowledge that the creative powers of all men can be catalyzed for growth toward wholeness, or whether we will persist in our egocentric, ethnocentric, fact-accumulating, thing-oriented, power-amassing ways that are leading us to destruction. Looking out the window into the forest, illuminated surfaces in the house that aren't in the forest are seen in the forest, 3D in color. Hand that's placed on TV is placed at the same time outside on the tree. The showers in the room, not confined to a cubicle. On the opposite walls, a mirror. Steam from the hot water produces the slow disappearance of one's image. Pleasure of having a body, waiting for the gift from me to me of death. Assassination of Martin Luther King. Apocalypse. They have homes, but they don't have the idea, keep out. Languages separate people. Images, TV, highway signs, trademarks, film, bring them together. Going to the moon, we speak in numbers. A year has passed. We pretend we can get along without him. For 3 or 4 years, Igor Stravinsky was treated for a malady his doctors thought he had. When, at death's door, Stravinsky's hands turned black, the doctors concluded a mistake had been made. That that's unknown brings mushroom and leaf together. Ego dethroned. In the course of being provided with false teeth, Thoreau took ether. You are, he wrote, told that it will make you unconscious, but no one can imagine what it is to be unconscious until he has experienced it. If you have an inclination to travel, take, he advised, the ether, you go beyond the farthest star. We know from a variety of experiences that if we have a sufficiently large number of things, some or even many of them can be bad, but the sum total is good for the simple reason, say, that not all of the things in it are good. Found page 74 in a book by Cassirer, it is speech itself which prepares the way whereby it is itself transcended. From navigation to aviation, Fuller, renounce water as sanitation means, adopt compressed air, following lead of dentists, bits of hair and skin floating in the air with pollen, seeds and spores from plants, out of water into air and back to earth. I asked Xenakis what's wrong with USA. He was quiet for a moment and then said, too much power. Put 'em who threaten possessions and power, together with them who offend our tastes in sex and dope. Those who are touched, put 'em in asylums. Pack off old ones to senior communities, nursing homes. Our children, keep 'em prisoner, babysitter as warden. School, good for 15 to 20 years. Army afterward. Liberated, we live in prison. Know this, know that. Kill us before we die. We have no icons. We believe what we do. Telephone conversation turned toward politics. Mrs. Emmons said she was certain what the government was doing was right. Beverly said, how do you figure that? Her mother replied, well, this is a Christian country. We leave food offerings for person who makes next telephone call, no matter who he is. Thus we transform highway telephone booth into wayside shrine. I don't believe, Duchamp said, in the verb to be. I do not believe that I am. Commune problem. Communes are filled with gurus, needing, not having, others to guru. But teachings, part and parcel of divisive society, we're leaving. Thoreau, my seniors have told me nothing. Probably can tell me nothing to the purpose. Davis, don't know what we're studying, don't know how we'll do it. Studied map, should have taken road not on it, went off to the left. Reprogramming. Jack McKenzie's proposal, set up alternative university program, freeing a student from all curriculum responsibilities, let him elect his studies, when he leaves, give him instead of degree, certificate telling what he did while in school. Looking at the sunset, Brown noticed part of its beauty is caused by air pollution. Day after the assassination, human being sitting at the table next to mine, wanted to speak to him, didn't have the right. As we left the valley to enter the desert, I gave up all thought of finding mushrooms. But for some reason we stopped along the road. There, underneath the pepper trees, I found Tricholoma personatum, excellent in quantity. The poor, where do they go to retire? Taquilma, Oregon, America's third poorest town. Nothing to do. Free jam, peanut butter, staples. Have 2 children? Government'll give you $240 a month. Money comes through the mail. Slight irritations make life sufficiently interesting to live, are provided by visits of welfare worker whose assignment is Taquilma. Taquilma's beautiful. Problem in Taquilma. Boredom. People often together sitting around talking. Let them close their mouths, open their eyes and ears, spend day in different directions, seeking world around or in them, returning to one another in the evening, ventilating. Provision for changes in schedule. She brought him food. Clairvoyant, he knew it was poisonous. Third time she offered him deadly food. He accepted it, but himself appointed the hour of his death. Religious tract David Tudor gave me, Christ International. Train is made up of engine, coal car, caboose. engine is fact, coal car is faith, caboose is feeling. Train can run with or without feeling. Caboose can't make train run. After breakfast, he offered her a cigarette. She said, no, thank you. He said, what's wrong? Have you stopped smoking? She said, yes. Next day, he stopped too. That was Nobby and Beth 10 years ago. I've learned to say no to those I don't know. Learned to say no to some of those I know. Example of underdevelopment of religious spirit. Edwin Schlossberg and Buckminster Fuller gave 6 weeks comprehensive design science course at the New York Studio School. I was invited to the last meeting. There were about 22 students. The first thing Bucky said was that the young people sitting around the table had sufficient intelligence to run the world, to solve all of world problems. Glancing at the students, I was skeptical. They looked like a bunch of hippies with some older oddballs thrown in. But while they spoke, did as I do at the movies when it's clear everything'll turn out all right. I wept. Fuller would have said, you sleep too much. All God's religions and all his servants, lawmakers, philosopher kings, saints, artists, have not been able to put mankind back together again. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We've got the automobile. No sense in leading horses around. Let them go where they will. Fix it so if they're thirsty, there's something for them to drink. Earth's the way to heaven. There's no mystery about it. Don't change man, Fuller. Change his environment. Humanities, save them for your spare time. Concentrate on the utilities. In anything experienced nowadays, there is much that is true, much that is false. Proofreading. Chadwick described a magnetic effect of moon on tides, on germination of seeds. Moon inclining draws mushrooms out of earth. We talked of current disturbance of ecology, agreed man's works, no matter how great, are pygmy compared with those of nature. Nature pressed will respond with grand and shocking adjustment of creation. Out of ourselves with a little O, into ourselves with a big O. Reunion. Received month's check, paid bills, went to farmer's market, economy. Returned at 6, having spent last penny on turkey and all the trimmings. Friends arrived at midnight for Thanksgiving in the spring. Cared for us day in, day out, rest of the month.
I'd like to mention that the fifth diary is published in a new book by Ihab Hassan. Wesleyan University Press has issued it. It's called Liberations, New Essays on the Humanities and Revolution. It contains essays by about 10 people who evidently were all at Wesleyan during the same period. Is that correct?
There during part of that year, yes.
I see. And this was issued in just May of this year, so it's very new. It's not in all of the stores yet, but it does contain the fifth diary as the first entry, and also works of Daniel Stern, Michael Wolff, Hayden White, Louis Mink, Frank Kermode, David Dyches, Harold Rosenberg, Richard Parra, is that how you pronounce that? Leslie Fielder, Ihab Hassan, and Buckminster Fuller.
Poirier, I think.
Poirier. Have you seen the book yet?
Yes.
It's hard to find.
This is KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, I might add.
Gordon Mumma has joined us. What kind of name is Mumma, Gordon?
It's mispronounced.
Mumma?
Long Yu.
Oh, we got a chair.
Oh, there's okay. Another chair.
There we go. Yes.
It's a long U, and it's a very old Dutch name.
Gordon's also with the Merce Cunningham Company.
Oh, now I can find out for sure whether Canfield is being done Friday or Saturday.
Saturday.
We're doing 4 programs, and they're all different. And Sunday is an event, which is from various parts of the repertoire, and sometimes 2 different dances being done at the same time.
Well, then if, as is true in my case, you can only go to one thing, perhaps Sunday would be...
Well, the trouble with these four programs is that they're all interesting. And I think that if I had a choice, it would be hard for me to make it. But the last one is, I think, for us, the most interesting because it's the most unpredictable from our present experience.
Well, it's unique to our situation in the on the Monday evening performance, the dancers themselves, all of the dancers of the company, are contributing the choreographic material for it.
Well, it's rather that Merce made an indeterminate choreography,
right. Mm-hmm.
And what they are contributing is the movement.
The detailed movement, right. Yeah.
Otherwise, the company is very much choreographed by Cunningham, isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
You see, he's been interested in the, on the one hand, energy, and so arranging matters so that people wouldn't bump or hurt themselves when they are using energy at a high level.
Traffic control.
And two dances before, Story and Field Dances, had a great deal of freedom on the part of the dancers in the use of material which Merce had given them. But they were both characterized by relatively slow movement. And I think that in this Monday evening performance that there will be higher levels of energy.
Yes, I'd choose Monday. If you had two, you could go to the four. Then I'd say Sunday and Monday, simply because you won't see those again, but you might have occasion to see the other works in the future. But the Sunday and Monday works are unique events made for this situation here in Berkeley for Zellerbach.
Why was it decided to do that instead of recreating something from the repertory?
Because we like to do it, and because the opportunities to do it in a theatrical situation, in a theater, which we have gotten to know the space well and the people who work there, and which we've gotten to know the community, as it were, of the theater, are all too rare. We do these occasionally, these events, on tours, but one has to make a grab. You have to make assumptions about certain things that you can do. Here we've come to know the people that are on the crew. We know the theater well. It feels like home, really, after 5 weeks. And it will be particularly comfortable because of that. We've also gotten to know our audience quite well. And I think for all of us, the dancers as well as the musicians, the situation of doing a new work in which there are specifically new challenges beyond a new repertory work, I mean, where people really have to make critical decisions on the spot, is really the most challenging thing we do, socially and artistically.
Where else can you do this? Where else have you?
Well, we've done them. We've done a great number of them in situations that are not proscenium theaters, which Zellerbach is. We've called them more specifically things like museum events or what are some of the other names? We've done them in museums or art galleries. We've done some of them outdoors. It's even more interesting to do them in a non-traditional space. But we will use Zellerbach fairly non-traditionally in the circumstances here. Where was the first event done?
I'm not sure that I recall accurately, but I think it was in a museum in Vienna.
Ah, right, yeah. Yeah. And then there was one done in Stockholm. And
mm-hmm.
When I joined the company, the first event we did was in 1966 in the south of France in an outdoor situation at the Fondation Macht, which is a modern art museum which has a great deal of materials out of doors. There's a great collection of Giacometti's work there. And the dancers performed indoors and outdoors, and the audience was among all of them. So I recall we did the music from the percussion parts from Atlas Ecliptocalis for that, John's Atlas Ecliptocalis. That was one of the most interesting because it was a unique space where we had to deal with a space in way where we had to establish our own precedence. I mean, we know pretty much where the audience is, for example, in Zellerbach. They're seated in the chairs, so that's sort of decided for us. But they're really the most interesting things for us to do, I think, in many ways. I don't mean to minimize the repertory works at all. It's just that there's a special kind of enthusiasm that we get.
Well, I've always been curious. As advanced a company as Merce Cunningham's company didn't seem to me, and I may have been wrong in my information, but didn't seem to me to be more, to stray more from the pre-arranged than it did. It always seemed to me that Cunningham's company stayed very much with a repertory, and that always struck me as rather strange.
Well, a part of it is the fact that when you've got 20 people who have to tour, and when you're doing it in a situation where who do you approach for touring? I mean, you approach theaters, you approach the institutions that are already established. A part of it is, I suppose you'll have to say, acceptance of certain premises, institutional premises. But increasingly, I mean, in the last 5 years particularly, every opportunity we get to do a special situation, we do it. And we've expanded now to where this year, starting this year, probably close to half of our work will be non-repertory work. It's become a real goal for us. I suppose if I thought about it, if I hadn't been so busy performing, I'd say I would be surprised also. But it's been on the increase all the time, the special one-of-a-kind events which make use in a non-traditional way of the circumstances.
I'd like to ask you, from the standpoint of what you're working with electronically, what unusual things do you do during a performance these days? You're using wireless mics, for instance.
That's well, yeah. See, now, the problem for me in a question like that is unusual. I suppose in some situations, everything is unusual. What's unusual to me is when I end up playing the piano or doing something that's fairly traditional. But electronically, we're working increasingly with wireless, which has been a... You know, the idea of not having to drag wires around with you is attracted, I think, everyone who's worked with electronics, particularly in music. And yet, the reliability of wireless equipment in the circumstances in which I think all of us find ourselves on occasion leaves something to be desired. So we've tried it off and on with various kinds of equipment, and sometimes they're happy and sometimes unhappy. Generally, it's unpredictable enough that that's still, what do you call it, a technical or logistic challenge to work with wireless. Recently, John has done a work, the songbooks, in which there are two singers. Is that a specific thing, that there are two singers always in it?
No, there can be any number, but at least two.
Yeah, at least two. To give them some freedom of movement, they use wireless microphones, and he had a system built for him which works quite well. The technology improves, and so we get to use wireless equipment more frequently.
Why is sound technology so bad?
Well,
that's a commercial problem.
It's partly that. It depends on what you choose. I mean, there are some situations where I think sound technology is marvelous. Other situations where it's not.
If you think sound quality is bad, you should try working in television sometime.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's exactly the situation. We're working in a medium where we have much greater latitude, say, than the poor guys that work on TV. I don't think it's so bad.
What do you mean bad?
For instance, it's very difficult to record certain sounds that are very low level. Mm. It's very hard to record sounds of airplanes, mm-hmm. or very loud sounds.
I noticed once, enjoying the sound of birds flying up from a pavement, a flock of birds.
The fluttering.
And when there was an attempt made to record it, it turned out not to have gotten on the tape.
But you're talking here about pushing a technology to an extreme of a situation. It's as though you're working with
I'm just talking about doing what it's setting out to do.
Well, I mean, automobiles...
It records sound.
Yeah, but automobiles are set out to do certain kinds of things, and it's very difficult to make them go beyond a certain speed or to make them operate in liquid media or things like that. I mean, it's when you get to pushing a medium of any kind, a technology of any kind, then things get a little rough, right? And I think that the fact that we're able to push so outlandishly on occasion with sound technology doesn't lead me to believe that it's bad, just because we have trouble with it, but precisely that it's marvelous because we're able to push in such extremes. And eventually we learn, you know, how to make it behave in very extreme situations.
John, what will you be performing with these with this weekend's concerts?
I'll be vocalizing.
John Cage singer.
Will you tell me the name of the work to the Thoreau text?
You mean the Muo one?
Right.
Muo ik siklek drone rithar. But I'm beginning to speak of it as Muo.
Muo, all right. Because I'm in a position of never being able to learn that title. That'll be on Sunday night.
It's a scramble of thorough Ray electronic music.
We don't have time, obviously, but I wanted to ask you something about transcendentalism, which came up on page 17 of the diary that you were just reading, when you said that there was something about the balance of good things and bad things, and that sum total always being good because it contained within it
things that weren't good.
Yeah, and yes. I don't understand that, and was wondering if you would mind commenting on it.
You don't understand it?
I'm shaking my head no.
Well, then you have only to make an experiment of your own. In a collection of things, make such a large collection of things that your sense of which ones are good and which ones are bad somehow drops away. And then when you have them all, try to experience them, see them all together, and you'll see that the bad somehow disappears.
You lose interest in them.
No, things become interesting because of their differences. And the notion of deciding whether something is good or bad or beautiful or ugly is that faculty is somehow overshadowed by your ability to be curious and aware.
Do you like the notion that, I think it's R.H. Blythe says when he says that freedom consists not in doing what you like, but in liking what you do?
That's very nice. I think de Kooning said something like that when he was asked why he painted. It was the one thing he enjoyed doing.
We just have a few minutes left. And
well, we were going to have John read the...
Aren't you tired of my...
there was that short bit that you wrote when you were 6 years old.
Six?
Two times six.
Well, Other People Think, which is published in Richard Castellanos' new book titled John Cage. It's out from Prager.
John, are you going to have a book called Richard Castellanos?
I doubt it.
Everybody should have a book called Richard Castellanos.
What were the circumstances of this?
Well, when I was in high school, I went to L.A. High. I went out, as they said then, for oratory. I preferred it to debate. And I wrote this text called Other People Think, and it was judged first as a written text by judges in Southern California, and I just barely managed to get into the finals to speak it because my text was considered quite poor in the written form. But when I spoke it, all the judges gave me first place, so that I was able to get the cup for L.A. High, which had been fortunately won the two previous years. And since I won it the third year, it now sits in the school in one of those cases.
Are you immortalized on it? Does it bear your name in the previous winners?
It does, but more interesting is something I learned recently from Alcides Lanza from Argentina. He said that composers in South America who had not liked my music, on reading this text, decided they did like my music. And that shows how little music has to do with music. It's called Other People Think. When Washington was proclaimed President of the United States, our country possessed most of the territory between the Atlantic and the Mississippi River. After the Mexican War, the Stars and Stripes were flown from ocean to ocean, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes. Today, the United States is a world power. In the New World, she calls Alaska, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands territories. She exerts a strong influence over Haiti, Nicaragua, Panama, and the Dominican Republic. She has circulated her dollar throughout the Latin American countries until she is spoken of as the giant of the North and thought of as the ruler of the American continent. Many citizens of this powerful nation have come to believe that people south of the Rio Grande are by nature inferior to those north of that river. A great number of Latin Americans, however, are convinced of their superiority to Anglo-Saxons. Both beliefs are justified to a certain degree, but both are the results of a superficial knowledge of racial characteristics and an unfortunate lack of mutual appreciation and sympathy. Neither people has been able to catch a convincing glance of the other's worth. There is a gulf of misunderstanding between the rulers and the ruled of the American continent, and little is done to span that gulf with bridges of harmony, although it is to the best interests of both peoples to do so. In the past, many obstacles have hindered the advancement of civilization among the Latin Americans. The men that colonized South America, in contrast to the pilgrims of New England, were pleasure-loving, avaricious, and adventurous. Under Spanish dominion, they were never given the opportunity to develop self-government. Thus, they have found it difficult to maintain the sovereignty of their countries. Yet, in their beginning to recognize their problems, they prophesy progress. Latin America is a land of the future. It is the potential producer of most of the food and raw products for all the world. Already, each of the 20 Latin American countries is noted for a product upon which the rest of the world is dependent. We rely on Brazil for our coffee, on Cuba for our sugar, and on Argentina for our wheat. These 20 countries also represent a market for the world's manufacturers. Without doubt, Latin America will experience a golden age in the near future. To cultivate friendly relations between North and South America will be a greater advantage mutually than it is at present or has ever been in the past. It is the popular belief that we have promoted friendly relations with all Latin America. Our foreign policy has, in general, aimed to promote the general welfare of the southern people. Without our intervention in Ecuador, that country, because of its unsanitary conditions, would be spilling its poison over all the New World. With the practice of American science, much of the dread of yellow fever in Central America has disappeared. Because of Uncle Sam's military power, Venezuela has been protected from Germany, Cuba from Spain, Mexico from France. We have defended all weak countries from European domination. We are governing Santo Domingo because the natives tried but failed. We are educating the Negroes of Haiti so that they may learn how to handle their own affairs. The United States has rid many countries of the curse of revolution. Many of the smaller republics have progressed in civilization because of American finance. Panama is Panama because of our interests in the canal. All in all, our intervention in Latin America has been actuated by altruistic motives. Why, then, is there any misunderstanding between the Latins and the Anglo-Saxons of this continent? There are two sides to every question, for other people think otherwise. Concerning the question of American intervention in Latin America, many people are thinking otherwise. The foremost literary men of the southern countries, led by Manuel Ugarte, are instructing their readers how to think. The professors of the great South American universities are teaching the students what to think. The statesmen, guided by Dr. Honorio Pueyrredon, are thinking and beginning to make their countries think. This thought that has penetrated the intellectual life of the Latin republics so effectively has been influenced by the actions of certain citizens of the United States. The great majority of these are capitalists, who have zealously invested money in the southern republics and eagerly exploited them. They have not the hope of progress of others, but only the desire for their own material advancement. They are of the family of the utterly selfish. They have not only been financially successful, they have succeeded in gaining for themselves the contempt and the aversion of men. They belong to a crazed congregation of gold worshippers, and it is difficult to convict them of wrongdoings, for they are extremely sly and hypocritical. These are our ambassadors to Latin America. In the eyes of the Southern people, these men are the United States. These are the books in which Latin Americans read our history, the pictures which portray for them Anglo-Saxon ideals. 6 years ago, three American banking companies loaned $26 million to the Republic of Bolivia. It was provided in the contract that 10% of the principal should be paid annually in monthly installments, with the interest at 8%. In the case of a default on the part of the country, the bankers will be given complete control of the Bolivian National Bank, certain Bolivian railroads, and the revenues of the Republic. According to this contract of 1922, the government of Bolivia is forbidden to borrow other money without the consent of the American bankers. For the administration of these provisions and the supervision of Bolivian finances, a permanent fiscal commission was formed. It consists of three members appointed by the President of Bolivia, two of whom are recommended by the Americans. As a result, the economic future of Bolivia is subject to the will of a handful of bankers. This is, however, but one instance of the actions of American capitalists. There are ties that have fastened the hearts of every Latin American country inveterately with the counting houses of Wall Street. It was to protect the lives and property of just such money-grasping men as those in Bolivia that the United States Marines entered Nicaragua 15 years ago. They are still there. Having taken charge of the politics of that country, they have been careful to keep a conservative in the presidency. The admiral in charge, reporting to Washington, noticed that only one-fourth of the country was conservative, and that all of his actions were done against the will of three-fourths of the Nicaraguans. A fear for the sovereignty of Nicaragua and other Latin American nations was born. Other people began to think that no government could exist in Central America without the sanction of the United States. Some have resolved the differences between the North and the South into the eternal race and religion problems. Other people think that a solution of these questions and the realization of Pan-American ideals are hopeless. Such is the result of our sponsoring American capitalism. Whether we deny the intelligence of those thinkers, whether we label this thought as the wild ravings of radical minds, whether we discredit some or all of it does not and cannot make any difference at all. For withstanding everything, it is there, omnipresent, growing, and becoming deeply rooted in the intellectual present and future of Latin America. Many have feared our interference in the past. Many will hate our intervention in the future. For the youth of the South is being taught to think. Is Latin America correct in calling our altruism masked imperialism? Should we continue to intervene in Latin America? What would the great men of our history do in this dilemma? Would not Lincoln champion the cause of the weak? But would not Roosevelt justify American intervention? What are we going to do? What ought we to do? One of the greatest blessings that the United States could receive in the near future would be to have her industries halted, her business discontinued, her people speechless, a great pause in her world of affairs created, and finally to have everything stopped that runs until everyone should hear the last wheel go round and the last echo fade away. Then, in that moment of complete intermission, of undisturbed calm, would be the hour most conducive to the birth of a Pan-American conscience. Then we should be capable of answering the question, what ought we to do? For we should be hushed and silent, and we should have the opportunity to learn that other people think. It is our task to consider Latin American thought and respect it. It is the produce of the mind of man, and in that it is truly great. With it we must compare and contrast our thought. When the two are together, Latin and Anglo-Saxon, we must separate the just from the unjust. Our actions in the past have been neither continually praiseworthy, nor have they been constantly worthy of blame, and Latin Americans have not always been infallible in their thinking and comprehension of the present. Our southern neighbors must learn to accept our help in making themselves fit for self-government. We must learn that the day is coming when no one will need our aid. That day will be one of great responsibility for the United States. that day will witness one of the greatest tests that practical democracy has ever experienced. For if we should at that time continue to interfere in the affairs of any Latin American nation, other people would be convinced that the United States is imperialistic. On the other hand, if we should not do so, we and all of our actions in Latin America would be hailed as altruistic. Assuredly, our posterity must not be slandered as the devotee of a golden god. We must not follow in the ways of certain American capitalists, for only when we cleanse our hands of gold dust and share with the Latins of this continent an unselfish handclasp will the sun of Pan-Americanism illuminate the horizon. Healed by the soothing rays of this sun, the Americans will prosper as never before. Economically, they will govern the world. Politically, they will prove that man can surpass misunderstanding. They will brilliantly prove that international life is not merely an ideal, but a reality. Spiritually, the Americans will teach all mankind. They will not give lessons in self-applause, for it attracts destruction. They will tell men of the science of appreciating, respecting, and sympathizing with others. Both Latin and Anglo-Saxon will have learned that other people think.
We've been listening to the valedictorian of Los Angeles High School, class of, what, 29?
27.
27?
28.
John Cage, who has been our guest on KPFA this evening. I'd also like to thank Gordon Mumma and Gerard Vanderloon of Oregon Magazine, Charles Shear of KQED Television, Richard Friedman and Charles Amerikani, and myself. Thank you, Charles.